You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. We own three of them, and I can tell you personally, even before they became sponsors, their customer service is second to none. Every time I've had any issues with any of my machines, going back to the way old ones, they've always taken really good care of me. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com. Oh, and mention us, and they'll give you $450 off. Mention Coach Collins or Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We always tell our players that they should be working on their craft. I challenge you to work on your craft. Come over, join a community of like-minded coaches who want to make this game better. It's the reason I started Teach Hoops, is to help pay the bills for all these podcasts, but even more importantly, to give back to this great game that has given me so much, and to set up a roadmap for you to be successful, not only on the court, but off the court. And we offer a 14-day free trial. So come over and kick the tires around, see if you like it. And let's head off to the podcast.
So this is a topic close to my heart.
Okay.
But why don't you talk about it, Coach, and then I'll jump in. I've got a lot of stuff to say about this one.
All right. Well, this was a question in the Coaching Youth Hoops Facebook group. So if you're not there on the Facebook group, go find it on Facebook. So Coaching Youth Hoops Facebook group. A coach had asked, how do we stop kids from immediately putting the ball to the ground on the catch? And they just dribble. There's no objective. They're not doing anything. Of course, we're talking about youth teams, but I know it happens in high school because you've been there. I've been there.
Yeah.
So how do we do it, Coach? How do we keep kids from immediately dribbling?
Well, first of all, we practice this just about every day. Mm. We do no dribble drills all the time.
Mm.
I think, and it's hard depending on the age level, but
yeah,
you have to explain to them why you don't dribble. So I always, this is usually in the first week of the season, probably even in a film session for us, I'll grab a ball and I'll say, hey, here's how it works. You catch the ball. You should look at the rim that you're going to shoot at every time. Doesn't matter if you're in the back court or the front court, and you look at it and don't dribble right away. Look at it, because somebody might be open that you can pass it to. That's the first thing. Second thing is the official, look at that.
Your balloons are going off.
I know.
Coach.
And I can do my thumbs up too for people that are watching. So you catch it and you look, the official starts counting, right?
Yeah.
So you have 5 seconds before you have to do anything. You actually have 4 seconds. And at that point, if you dribble it, the count starts over again. Mm-hmm. And then if you pick the dribble back up, the count starts again. So actually, every time you got the ball, you have 4 seconds plus 4 seconds plus four. You actually have 12 seconds before it becomes an issue every time you catch the ball. So mm-hmm. as soon as you catch the ball and dribble, the only thing you can do to stop the 5 second count is to pick it back up. And if I'm playing you and you start dribbling and then you pick it up and I sense any sense of weakness, I'm going to trap you.
Right.
So, and especially at the youth level, unless it's changed since you and I coached, the better athletes, the better teams tend to press and trap and do those things when they can. So it's better to keep the dribble as a release. It's a release to get you out of trouble. It's a release to get you out of the 5 second count. It's a release to let you do things on the offensive end, because you should catch and look like you want to shoot it. Even if you're 70 feet from the basket, it doesn't matter, because you'll be able to see your opponent. So I think it's a really important skill to teach at a young level about catch and square and look. Catch, square, look. Catch, square, look. You catch, you square at the basket, and you look. Every time. Peek at the look. Peek at the basket, look at the basket.
And I think the key of all that is just explaining the why behind why you don't want to put it down necessarily right away. But here's
and the thing. Also, and I've charted this, turnovers happen more off that dribble.
Oh, interesting.
And they do off the dead ball. At least they used to. I mean, when I was used to be tracking that all the time. But yeah.
Well, and the tricky thing about basketball is this, right? Is okay. Now, the tone of this question I understand, which is most kids will get they receive the ball, they put it to the ground right away, right?
Well, it's the first thing they learn to do. This is like Darwin, like you give a kid a ball, the first thing they do is try to dribble it.
Yeah.
Basketball. They don't try to shoot it, because usually there's not even a rim when they're that little. They try to throw it or they try to dribble.
So basketball is tough, right? There's never an always, right? And sometimes, you want to do a stampede catch and go to the rim quick, right? Or sometimes you're one-on-one and you don't want the defense to catch up. And, again, that's tough, because now you're telling the kids to hold the ball, do something, look first, let the play develop, maybe if it's a pass cut, type of thing. And I think there's some confusion that happens, because they want to dribble the ball right away. Right. I asked my girls this the other day, and I said, is there a rule? I think we talked about this on the podcast, another podcast, but I asked them, is there a rule that says as soon as you catch the ball, you got to put it to the ground? They said, no. And I'm like, well, why do you?
Right.
And they said, we panic. And I'm like, oh, okay. You panic. Okay. Interesting. And, then of course we dove into, well, why do you panic? Are you afraid of losing the ball? Are you afraid of a turnover because of the 5 second count? Right. What are the reasons why you panic?
Right.
So we kind of broke all of those down, and it really is just more reps, right? Getting them comfortable doing drills. We have this drill where I call it the Uncle Vinny drill. I think we've talked about Uncle Vinny before. Uncle Vinny is the ref, and his daughter or his niece, his relative is on defense. You're on offense. And it's where you're hacking the other player and you get no calls. So,
right.
So what we do is I have the girls hold on to the ball. And so it's defense basically throws it out. They do a closeout. Now offense has to just work on their pivots, creating space. And I'm underneath the basket. Now, if you can imagine, there's five people all the way around the rim with a defender. They have to keep their head up so they can see me underneath the basket. And then I point to one of them and then they go one-on-one live. Okay. Well, the first one is easy and they just go and they rip and go. The last one is sitting there pivoting forever, right?
Right.
Trying to create space. But what it does, it teaches them, well, what do I do in a situation, right?
Right.
Of I have to create space. I'm looking. I have to keep my head up. Somebody's just hacking the heck out of me. Right now in a game, that's not going to happen, hopefully. So it'll be a lot easier. So we make it, but anyway, call it the Uncle Vinny drill, just because you're just getting hacked and there's no calls being made, because the ref is the girl's Uncle Vinny, the defender's Uncle Vinny.
Is it Uncle Vinny? Wasn't there a movie with an Uncle Vinny?
Yeah, I think that's probably where it's deep in my consciousness.
I know, somewhere. I don't remember what it was.
But I think at the end of the day, it's just practicing. It's practicing, telling them the why behind it, telling them possibilities that they could do, diving into your team's reason why they're quote unquote panicking, right? And breaking that down into what are you looking to do? And then explaining. I think the biggest thing is, especially as they get older, is explaining, well, when do you put the ball to ground on the catch versus when do you hold on to it? And that, again, that's the unique thing about basketball. You can't always say to hold it. You can't always say to dribble it right away.
Right. Yes. And it's like, well, and the thing is, I think that's an interesting observation about panic, because I even see that with my guys. It's like the panic is, oh, crud, I'm getting doubled. The panic is, I'm going to dribble it right away. The panic is, I'm going to run away from my teammates rather than run toward my teammates. So that's what we've been really working on, is run toward it. Like I said, you're a police officer. You run toward the shots, like run toward them. I mean, you don't run away. You run toward it because your partner needs your help.
Buffalo, they run towards the storm, into the storm. Did you know that?
No.
Buffaloes run into the storm because they know if you run in the storm, right, they're going to run through the storm on the other side. It's going to be clear for them.
And then it's moving away from them.
Yeah, it's moving away from them. Yeah.
So okay.
You can start, instead of police office, it's a little bit cleaner than running towards the shots.
I don't love that.
Yeah.
But it works. It's true. But you're right. Buffaloes run toward the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right through. So those of you that are watching right now are going to see me write this down, because I am literally going to use that tomorrow in practice, because we're playing a team this week that pressures us, and we're going to talk about buffaloes. Are they buffaloes or bison in the U.S.? I think they're bison.
That's a whole other question.
No, I think this is. I gotta. Anyway, as we end up,
we'll look at the bison versus buffalo. And if you know the answer to that question, put it in the comments.
Coach Collins is actually relatively bright. So though the terms are often interchangeable, buffalo and bison are distinct animals. Old world buffaloes are native to America, Africa, and Asia. Bison are found in North America and Europe.
So that means the bison run towards the storm.
It's the bison run towards the storm. Anyway, if I'm wrong, let us know. I really don't know that much, but put it in the show notes, put it wherever you find this. We'd love to hear from you. Yes. All right. Give them your email if they want to respond to coaching youth. If they have a question about coaching youth hoops too. What's your email, coach?
Yeah. You can send it to coachbill@coachingyouthhoops.com. Also, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast and you're listening right now, reach out to me. Enjoy the information.
Maybe.
We're always looking for additional sponsors that add value to the podcast.
Absolutely.
Keep it free.
All right. Till next week.
Till next week, coach.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Also, subscribe and like. We do appreciate those. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.